welcome to another discussion with one of our expert partners. Hope you enjoy it, and feel free to suggest other topics or ideas you would like us to discuss in the future. Well, hello again. Thanks again for joining us on one of our discussions, and particularly getting you involved in this video series is great to have you here. I mean, I know the purpose of this series is there's been a lot of discussion about AI. It's permeating through everything we seem to touch at the moment. It's a bit like protein used to be in food, where protein got added to everything. I'm waiting for the first confectionery bar that's AI energized or something. But anyway, we digress. It is permeating into everything. And it just got us thinking that, you know, it's all well and good, but there has to kind of be some fundamentals in place for it to really be effective, and hence the kind of theme around this that, you know, if you're running a bad hotel with AI, AI is not going to make it a great hotel. It's not a magic wand that will solve the problem. It will probably actually accentuate the problem even worse if you try and implement it. And that's really what we wanted to get into. So we've obviously got some questions we wanted to just pose to you. You're at the coalface working with clients all the time, so it'd be great to get your thoughts. But before we dive into them, how are things with you guys? You having a great first half of the year?
Yeah. No, things are great. First half has been awesome. We have a lot of exciting things on the go with our existing clients, some new clients. Our product development roadmap is looking really strong for the rest of the year. So we will, I can't say too much, but we will have some exciting stuff coming soon.
Good. Well, we look forward to getting you back on and talking about it and bringing some of that to life. That'd be great. Right. Let's crack on. So let's start probably almost at the base level. So, you know, whether you do outreach, clients will come to you. They want to talk about your technological solution. They also, everyone will be talking about AI. From the very outset, how do you assess, you know, these are tricky conversations. How do you assess whether a hotel's current commercial operation is actually ready for AI? And I guess this is a two-parter question. It's like, are there things that you can obviously see to kind of say, okay, there's some stuff we need to work on first before AI is really going to add some value to it? And if they are identifiable, are there some common gaps that you tend to see occur more often than not?
Yep, absolutely. I can speak to that. I think this is a really great question for people to sort of sit back and ask themselves before they embark on an AI project, because it's so foundational, right? It's very easy to get lost and run down a particular road and go implement something and then realize like, oh, wait, maybe I didn't actually need this. So the first question, you know, in terms of assessing a commercial operation is, first of all, what you're doing today, is it working? So the way I see it, a commercial operation is made up largely of three pieces, right? You have people, tools, and processes. Yep. Are those three things aligned, and are they generating positive results for you right now? Right. I kind of think of it, it's like that three-legged stool analogy, right? If one is shorter than the other, that's not going to go very well for you.
You're falling over.
So, exactly. So if those things are present and they're aligned and it's working really well, or it's working well right now, then I think, yes, absolutely, by all means, look at ways you can add AI. It will be a force multiplier for you.
Yeah.
If no, and you're lacking in one of those three areas, right? One of those is sort of trailing behind, then like you said, AI on its own won't solve the problem, right? It can be most helpful in that tools aspect, but it's not going to replace human beings. We know that. And it's not going to give you the processes that you need to run those two things together in conjunction. So you need to determine really what the problem is, how to solve it, and then how AI is part of that solution. That's sort of the roadmap that I would use to go about it.
And go on, sorry.
Go ahead, please.
I was going to ask, is there any one of those three parts of the stool? Because I guess, and when you're talking about technological solution, I guess data is at the heart of that. So, I mean, where does, well, let me ask this one first. Where does data quality sitting here as part of that, because I guess, you know, we can have the tools, we could have the people, but that may be a factor itself.
Data quality actually kind of goes across all three of those, okay. Because it isn't exclusively in any one or the other, right? So you need, I think, people who recognize the importance of data quality and, you know, why that is vital to what you're trying to do. You need tools that give you visibility and control over your data quality. And then you need processes to be able to put it in place to maintain that data quality over time. Best example that, you know, always comes up with us and our clients is geographic source market data for guests, right?
Okay.
That sort of lives and breathes and dies with the front office, right? When that person comes to the front desk and they're checking in, are we capturing their address correctly? Are we inputting that in the PMS?
Yeah.
If we're not doing that at a high rate, then the data quality in that area is going to suffer tremendously, and it's basically garbage data. So that's where the process piece comes in, but you need the tools and you need the people as well to sort of make the whole thing work.
Got you. And is there one of those that, not the most important, but, you know, you can have the people, but they may not quite be there. You need a bit of upskilling. You might have some process. Is there one that kind of stands out that just says, okay, fundamentally, if this isn't in place, we just have to get that right first and foremost?
I think the hardest one to gain or to replace is people, actual human assets. Because if you can get a good person to be on the team who has the experience, has the knowledge, right? They recognize the importance of the tools and most importantly of the processes, and they think in that sort of process focused way, that is a very strong foundational piece, right? It's very easy to go out and buy a tool. You can, you know, work your way through and build out a process, but you need the right person to do it. You need the right people across your team largely, but in a commercial sense, you know, exclusively, you need that right commercial operator to make that whole thing work.
Gotcha. Were there any other points in that answer?
A little bit to where we started, you know, one of the gaps, one of the most foundational gaps is actual recognition of the problem and the solution, kind of like we were saying. What is the problem and how will I use AI to solve it, right? So I can give you an example for myself. I am a tools guy. I love tools. I always think there's a better way to do something, that you can always build a better mousetrap. I keep my ear close to the ground on new tools, you know, different things I can use. And it's always, oh, we can do this and this and this. It can be very easy to get super excited about a new tool and what it can do for you and what they promise and run out and go purchase that thing because it's only, you know, however much a subscription a month. But you need to take that step back, take a breath and plan and map the whole thing out and understand why, you know, I'm buying this for this reason, because we have a gap here and it's going to help me solve that problem. So take that. It will make it a lot easier for you. That way you're not asking for budget and then realizing that you've gone down the wrong path a little while later.
Focus on the problem, not just the solution. Make sure you understand the problem you're trying to fix.
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
Yeah, that makes sense. So let's kind of expand. Well, let's kind of narrow that down a little bit in a way then for our second question. So when you're looking at a hotel's day-to-day commercial execution, you know, this is before AI can add value on top of it. But what would good look like, where you say, okay, yeah, they're in the right position, and if we bring AI into this, it's going to add some meaningful value on top?
I think for me, good looks like, you know, we were talking before about those three pieces: the people, the tools, and the processes. Like we were saying, you have a solid infrastructure and you have those three things that are aligned. They're working together. So what that kind of looks like in practice is, you know, maybe you have a big team. You have lots of people. You have very skilled people. But if you don't have the tools in place that allow them to work efficiently, you have a lot of people who are working inefficiently, right? If you have 10 people who are working in spreadsheets and spending hours on that every single day, that is not necessarily an efficient use of their time. You hired them because they're smart people, not because they know how to copy paste really quickly and easily. Right. So there is room for improvement and alignment there between people and tools. That also runs into the processes right part as well. If we're having, you know, say for example, we're having multiple meetings on a, during a week, we're spending hours, we're reviewing the same things, right? It's that meeting that could have been an email, right? Kind of thing. If you're doing a lot of that, and these are extreme examples, of course, again, it's not an efficient use of time, which is probably one of the most precious resource that you have, especially when it comes to commercial operation. Timeliness, we know, is being able to take advantage of an opportunity or mitigate a risk. Timing is hugely important there. So it's not just having the right things in place, but having them aligned and working together in a way that delivers optimal results and optimal efficiency, which sounds really complicated. I promise it isn't that hard in practice. But having that infrastructure, right? You need to have that base. And then the way I see it is AI is that force multiplier on top of that right now.
Got you. Is it obvious if you were to look at two hotels, and let's say one has good processes, but maybe is having poor outcomes at the moment, and then you've got one that is genuinely strong commercially, is it easy to distinguish and kind of identify what those differences would be?
You need to take a really solid look under the hood. You know, from a surface level, from outside, I don't think you could really do it. You know, if they were, for example, both clients of ours and we knew the people and we were working with them and we got a look behind the scenes and we could see, you know, how things are working and what they're doing and that kind of stuff, that's a different story. That's the level of access and exposure that I would need to be able to make a comfortable, you know, read on the situation. You almost need to be embedded in there as a consultant or like a fly on the wall to get a view into that. Otherwise, you're kind of like, you know, armchair general managering it, trying to figure out what's going on.
I got you. Okay, let's. The third question I want to ask you sits around the data, because as you were saying, that runs across everything. If you go in and you're talking with a hotel and you're able to get under the hood a little bit, and you can see that the hotel's data is more a reflection of poor processes rather than the real market behavior. What are some of the things that you would be discussing or could be done to help the owner, help the GM, whoever the point of contact is, to recognize what they need to be doing before they commit to an AI investment?
Yep, absolutely. And go back to the best example for this, and one that in real life we run into with a number of our clients, usually during the implementation process, once they're looking at their data, you know, to like you for the first time, it's that geographic source market data for the guests, right? Where are the guests coming from? What are the trends in that area? And like I was saying before, that is the one piece that is most heavily reliant on processes, because it often, you know, lives and dies based on that front desk agent inputting the address correctly when the guest arrives. You know, if we're not doing that, we have a lot of blank empty data, right? We don't know where people are coming from. Or I've seen examples where, you know, OTA reservations come in with a default address, you know, country, state, whatever, and then we don't change it. And it's like, oh, wow, we have, you know, really great production out of the USA or the Netherlands or whatever the case may be. Right. So there's a lot to be there. What I have seen in the past and the recommendations that I have made to some of our clients is to come up with a process where we incentivize the front desk as well as other teams to improve that data quality. Bring them in. Don't just tell them, hey, you guys need to be doing this, that, and the other. Show them the problem. Explain it to them. Tell them what we need to be doing, and then incentivize it. You can gamify it in some ways, right? There's all different kinds of ways we could track this. Maybe it's, you know, a leaderboard comparing different front desk agents against one another. Maybe we just look at it on a weekly basis and what is our achievement? You know, how many are we leaving out? What was that versus last week, right? And then incentivize them, reward them, not a pizza party, do more than that. But, you know, do real stuff to sort of bring them together. Again, break down those silos that we always love to talk about and make them part of that solution, really.
I got you. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I always laugh when people talk about incentivizing because they say, well, you know, they should just be doing it for the job. Yeah, but if you don't get your data right, you're going to make this massive investment anyhow, and it's not going to work properly. So if you actually just do a little bit of incentivization up front, it's going to be far more productive and far more effective, far more quickly, and you're going to get that short return much faster.
Exactly. The incentives need to be aligned. Right. Your incentive is probably, if you're a commercial person, right, your goals, your targets, whatever, you want to hit that. So you need that to happen. That's what you need front desk to do. So their incentives need to align with yours. If they're conflicting, it's not going to work.
Yeah. On this, you know, the historical data and data being compromised or data not being there. I mean, if it's not there, I guess the incentivization for people to make sure they're asking for it. But what happens if some of the data is compromised in some way? I mean, that's a catch-all phrase, obviously. How long would it typically take maybe to generate clean data before adding the AI layer on top becomes really viable?
It depends on what you want that AI to do for you. If you want AI, you know, for example, to give you a forward-looking forecast based on, again, guest geographies, right? Things like that. I think the more data you can give it, obviously, the better. But I think something like, you know, 3 months of data isn't going to be sufficient for it to give you like a 12-month forecast, that kind of thing, right? Because we know you're going to have seasonality. You may need 12 months of data for it to look at and say, okay, this is high season, this is low season, this is what happens, before it can really generate something meaningful for you. If what you're looking for is something more simplistic than that, then you can probably do with less data to feed into it. So it really depends on what you're looking for in terms of an outcome.
Do you ever get into situations where when you're looking at the data, you're thinking, oh God, this is a real mess. This is going to take some time to... How long could that take to get it clean and effective in a way that can be... You know, so they may have lots, they may have years of data, but actually just the way it's structured or accessible or mistakes... Yeah. How long would it take to kind of get through a cleaning process, so to speak?
We are pretty much experts in that, to be honest. It's something that comes up a lot during our implementations because they're coming online with us at Hotel IQ, and we're building it and we're looking at their business hierarchies. So what is your market segment hierarchy, your distribution channel hierarchy, your room class and room type hierarchy? Geomarket hierarchy is pretty much set in stone with us. And then, you know, that's for one hotel, but what if we have multiple properties, right? Multiple different setups, potentially multiple different brands, bringing all that together, how do we roll that up? That's where things can get very messy. But our team is very experienced in that. So if the client has an open mind and is willing to sort of investigate that and look at ways that they can optimize that, our team is available and we can make suggestions, and we have done this in the past with multiple clients. If we have time and then dedicated resources from the client side, we can do it in a couple of weeks because it's what we know, like the back of our hand. We can make things work. We can align it and set it up and make recommendations and then put everything in place.
I've got you. Okay. Final question, and it's probably touching a little bit on the answer from the first one. So we kind of start off and then close it off. So if a hotel group, property, small group, large group, whatever, came to you and asked for an honest readiness assessment before any technology conversation, I'm going to ask you again. I think I know what you're going to say, but what would you actually look at? And I guess what I'm really interested in is the cheeky second question was, And how many hotels do you think would genuinely pass the we are ready now?
I think the first thing that I would probably do is I would ask them to describe to me what are your daily, weekly, monthly processes. You know, what are you doing? What reports are you running? What do you do with that? What meetings do you have? What do you look at in those meetings? All of that, right? Mm-hmm. And how effectively is all of that working? How effectively is all that aligned? Mm-hmm. I would love to take a look at their data quality and their source systems, right? Is everything configured optimally? Not just in the PMS necessarily, right? Is the mapping from the CRS to the PMS, is that good, right? Then in the PMS, do we have everything set up like we were talking before about those business hierarchies and how those are established and are those all aligned? And is this one hotel? Is it 10, 20? Is it 100 hotels? What is that? How does that, what does that look like? I'd like to get a handle on all of that before, to get sort of that big picture view and understand the mechanics of how everything is working together before I was able to make really an educated assessment on how many would pass and fail. I'm gonna jump around that a little bit. I'm gonna say it's not so much a binary pass fail. It's whether there's lower hanging fruit that I would say take on first that will then lead into better outcomes with AI. So it's drawing out a roadmap and saying, okay, you're here. AI is down here. So between those two places, there's a lot of other stuff that we can do that will make it easier, better, faster when we get to the AI piece in a couple months' time. Right.
Okay,
So
so
again, if you are working inefficiently, if you're using too much time, right, if you are spending too much time on manual reporting, stuff like that, too much time on meetings, can't answer questions properly or in a timely way, there's other stuff you need to get in place before. You can't just stamp AI on something and say, okay, good, it's good, let's go.
I've got you. So yeah, so if you were doing if I'd asked you to do a readiness assessment of our hotel and we'd scored pretty poorly, through your evaluation, you wouldn't tell us, okay, look, just walk away from this conversation entirely. There is a stage approach that could be taken to get from where we are now to where we would need to be.
That's what I would do if I was operating as like a sort of AI consultant for hotels, and I'm sure that there are people out there who do this. That is sort of the process that I would take. That it's a journey. It's not just, implement the AI thing right now.
Gotcha. Brilliant. They're all the key questions we wanted to ask you as part of this series. So it's been really interesting, and I really like the perspective and the three-legged stool and how the importance to have those in balance. I guess they could be a little bit out of balance, and you might be a bit wobbly, but you may not fall over. But
Exactly.
if you can equalize them all, that would be really good. Any final thoughts from your side? Anything we haven't touched on that when we threw out this topic to you felt was important to get across?
No, I think this was great. It was an awesome conversation. You actually brought up data quality before I could even get there. That just
Sorry,
shows,
that
I
was
mean,
my fault.
how pervasive it is, how everybody recognizes the importance of it, but it's not fun. It's not cool. It's not sexy. Nobody really wants to talk about data quality or do anything with it. But what I could say is that that's an area that we're focusing on making, giving hoteliers more control and visibility over their data quality is something that we're working on at Hotel IQ. And I will have more to say on that later.
Very interesting. I guess that comes back to one of the biggest challenges people said when you were using AI. I mean, AI's been around for years. It feels like it's only arrived 2 years ago. It hasn't. It's been around for years, but it kind of came to the forefront in everyone's mind a couple of years ago. And then everyone was talking about hallucinations. Well, it's kind of hallucinating because it's trying to connect dots and make the best of it. So I guess if your data pretty shocking, dirty, compromised, badly organized, it's going to hallucinate because it wants to give you an answer. So
Exactly.
that data
Exactly.
quality is critical to getting, if you ask it a question, it can only give you an answer to that question based on the quality of data that you're providing it.
100%. When we spoke about analytics and BI, everybody knew the garbage in, garbage out, mantra. The same thing applies here. It's even more it's more important now, because there are potentially dangers of hallucination, although any good AI system should be avoiding and mitigating that. But the core still stands that if you're pumping in bad quality data, you're going to get, relatively poor quality outputs. And that is really what is underpinning sort of this whole initiative that we're undertaking with data quality visibility and control with Hotel IQ.
Brilliant. Well, I look forward to catching up with you in hopefully a couple of months when you can tell us a little bit more and
Yeah.
share your secrets to the outside world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Me too.
But as always, a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Thank you for listening, and I hope the conversation was of interest. Please do feel free to suggest any topics you would like discussed in the future. We're always open to ideas. Thank you once more, and I hope you will join us again. Goodbye for now.